And guys, you kind of help us take care of those mics while we're in the midst of the commotional part here. Very good. Amen. 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 Let's go ahead and take your Bible, if you will, please, and turn to Acts chapter 7. I've got the Genesis on the top there because we're going to spend a lot of time there. But Acts chapter 7 is a nice little synopsis of what we're talking about tonight. Acts chapter 7. Appreciate that. Did a good job, kids. Appreciate your verses, too. Amen. Amen. Does anybody need papers that didn't get a paper? Slip your hand. Most everybody got them, but I think there's a few that missed. Slip your hand if you didn't get a paper. Worksheet. You want one? Slip your hand and keep it up until they get there. I wanted to do this series, and I think it's going to be a blessing to you. I really do. I think that there's a fine line between trusting God and trusting self. Everybody got a worksheet? Okay? We've got a couple extras here. We still have some. You're missing. Anybody missing one? You need one down here? You okay? All right. Okay. You still want one here? We got some more. We have some more. We have some more. They're there. Bring one more down here so that just in case they need one. One on the far side? Or is that all of them? I did more than we did last week, and I thought it would be plenty. All right. All right. A life of faith, if we're not careful, we will put and I understand it's our decision, we will put the result of faith on us because we have such great faith. See, it's not faith in us, it's faith in a faithful God. If we do this right, it's not that we are relinquished of all of our duties, but our duties are to simply do what He tells us to do. And you leave the results in the hands of an almighty, omnipotent God who's faithful. So I hope as we go through this, I hope you get the idea. This should really give you a sense of assurance, security, a sense of hope, a sense of relief, I think is the word I'm looking for, when we put it in His hands. Acts chapter 7, verse number 2, read along with me. And of course, Stephen, the first martyr, is preaching. And he said, men, brethren, fathers, hearken. He said, listen to me. The God of glory appeared unto our father. You see, we're in verse 2, right? Chapter 7, verse 2. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran, and said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into a land which I shall show thee. You don't know where it is, but I'll show you when we get there. Verse 4. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans, and dwelt in Haran, and from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land, wherein ye now dwell. And he gave him none inheritance in it, no, not so much as to set his foot on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession, and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. And God spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage and entreat them evil for 400 years. And the nation to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, said God. And after that shall they come forth and serve me in this place. And they gave him the covenant of circumcision. So Abraham begat Isaac and circumcised him on the eighth day. And Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. Let's pray. And we're talking about stepping out on faith. Stepping out on faith. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for the words. Lord, you've given us these things. As in samples, you've given them to us to learn, to give us faith, to be able to trust you, to see what you've done in other circumstances and through other folks who were not perfect, nor was their faith perfect, but their faith was at least a mustard seed enough to step out. So Lord, I pray you speak to us here this evening. We need you. And I really want folks to understand the walk of faith and the sense of rest and relief when we do so. So Lord, I pray that you'll give us your wisdom, give us your understanding. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Abraham's legacy is that he believed God and it was counted for righteousness. God said it, he believed it. God said do it, he did it. He believed God. Now, we spent two messages on some basic principles, and I'm going to remind you of those just real quick. You have them on your paper because I want you to realize when we go through these stories, these accounts of Abraham, that these elements here, these attributes should be in our mind, in the back of our mind. Abraham, sometimes we wonder, you say, well, Abraham must have had great faith because God did great things through him. And then we read the life of Abraham and feel like what a mess he was. There's things he didn't do right. And then you say, well, how in the world could God bless that mess? You see, we think we've got this idea on both sides that we are the ones earning God's blessing. Now, should we live righteously? Absolutely. We should want to please the one who has died for our sins. We should want to, he that hath his hope in him purify himself even as he is pure. But it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. See, we have nothing to offer, and yet God gives us everything if we're willing to trust him. You see, we think we're great because we can put on a show. We wear a suit with a hanky just for show, not for blow, you know. We think God ought to be real impressed with us because look at what we did. What was it that impressed God with Abraham? Faith. He believed God was counted to him for righteousness, for the rightness. If he says, you want to be right with me? Believe me. That's what he really wants. Now, if you believe him and he says, don't commit adultery, you won't commit adultery. But sometimes we even fall. Abraham fell there. His wife even gave him the okay. It was wrong. But God didn't bless him because he was perfect. He blessed him because he believed God. That's hard for us to think about. So Abraham, on your paper there, Abraham was an ordinary man. Because he was an ordinary man, he had ordinary faults. Now keep these in your mind. We spent 2 weeks, but you've got to see this. I don't want to preach this every week. He had ordinary faults. He had ordinary fears, just like we all do. He had ordinary failures. Because of his faults and his fears, we do things we're not supposed to do. We get into things we shouldn't get into. Sometimes we should believe God, and we just can't quite bring ourselves to do what he called us to do. We have ordinary failures. But Abraham had ordinary faith in the faithfulness of an extraordinary God. His faith was in the faithfulness of God. See, so many people say, well, I'll say, you're going to heaven. Sure, I have faith. Faith in what? Well, I have faith. See, they have faith in their faith. What is that? What do you mean? Because here, I tell you what the problem is. Faith is faith. Faith is not feeling. Faith is not feelings. Faith moves forward. Faith is saying, this is what God said to do. I don't understand it. I don't see how it's going to work. But this is where I need to go, so I need to do it. Stepping out on faith is not stepping out on feelings, because feelings can change. Peter stepped out on the water and walked on water. Then he started feeling the water, and he went down. But when he looked back at Jesus and said, Lord, help me, then the Lord saved him. And immediately they were both back in the boat. Feelings will fail you. Our Father never fails us. And because Abraham believed God, had faith in his faithfulness, we saw last week, he was seen as a friend of God. He was called the friend of God. You want to feel like you and God are just like this? Believe him to the point that you step out on faith and do what he tells you to do. Because when you step out, then he's there. What was the one song we sang this evening? What was the second song? Higher Ground. Is that the one where he leads our... Anyway, I can't remember now. Talked about being where God blesses. You know, Abraham, if he had not left the Ur of the Chaldees and gone to where he couldn't see the answer, he wouldn't have been walking with God. Do you want to have a walk with God? You got to do what he asks you to do. And then someone helped me last week. I said he was seen as a son of God. So you come out from among bees separate, and I will be a father unto you. Abraham was seen as family. Family. Family sticks together. Family stays and supports one another. God can be your father. And we can cry, Abba, Father. I want us to live Abraham's life with him through the accounts given to us in the Word of God. That's what I want to do. I want you to see this. First Corinthians 10, verse 11 says this, "Now all these things happen unto them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." If you think you don't need this, you better watch out. "See, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful." See, that's what we're trusting. The faithfulness of God. But God is faithful. Watch. "Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry." This, a lot of times, the way of escape is not the easy way. The way to escape may be to do what God calls you to do, like walking on water. That might, but the fact he gives us a way. We're the ones that try to, that's too hard, I can't trust him. And then we try to escape on our own, and we wonder why we can't make it. We may not hit every detail of every story here in his life, but I want us to have a good understanding of what Abraham went through and how he continued to walk with God in the wilderness and did not go back to the old life. Yet we will see the faults and the fears and the failures of Abraham and see how God responded to Abraham. Sometimes we may actually think that God is too lenient with Abraham. Sometimes we may think he's unfair in Abraham's favor. Let him off. It may become confusing. However, in the process of these lessons, I think we will come to realize the character of God and who he is, who is full of grace and truth. I also think that we will allow ourselves to comprehend and accept God as he is presented in God's word, instead of making up our own definition. And I think you're going to find there's going to be a peace and a comfort from the Lord that you may have never experienced before. And I think your faith will be built up and your gratitude and humility will increase. Number one on your paper, the condition of Abraham. When God called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, what was his condition? Well, I've got it there in your paper, I think. We're going to step back to Genesis 11. Genesis 11, verse 24. See the condition. It says, "And Nahor lived 29 years and begat Terah. And Nahor lived after he begat Terah 119 years and begat sons and daughters. And Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram." That's Abraham. Abram. "So he begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Now these are the generations of Terah." That was, of course, Abram's father. "Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran, and Haran begat Lot. And Haran died before his father, Terah, in the land of his nativity, in Ur of the Chaldees. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abraham's wife was Sarai, and the name of, which ends up being Sarah, Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran. and the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren. Sarah, remember, she wasn't able to have a child. She had no child, and Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son's Abraham's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now, this can get a little tedious, but you got to know where you're coming from to understand. You know what we do a lot of times? We'll say, well, Lord, I could follow you, but you know my circumstances. Well, you know, I probably should follow you, but see, I just didn't have the I didn't have the opportunities that other people have had. I should probably follow you, but I didn't have, you know, the godly parents that other people have had. And we start making excuses for why we can't follow God. The condition of Abraham, look at letter B. He was in the Ur of the Chaldees. Ur of the Chaldees. Now that was way down. If you want to go down and look at it, you've got Babylon and the Tower of Babel. You could take Ur way down. In fact, some historians think that's probably about where the Garden of Eden was. The Ur of the Chaldees. In other words, it was near the birthplace of civilization. The Sumerians, you hear about that. They were the first culture that really had some developed, you know, language and so forth, and the Sumerian culture was quite advanced for the time. So it's the number one of the Chaldees. It was near the birthplace of civilization. In other words, everybody lives here. Everybody's here. But God's going to ask him to leave where they've always been. Number two, the Sumerian culture. He asked them to leave the Sumerian culture. Now, Ur appears to have been a city of some considerable consequence at the time of the Chaldean people in Chaldea, and probably was as big a metropolitan city as there was at that time. Probably was. Now, if you want to say a big city, I mean, you know how it is out here. You go out to the out in the Midwest, and they say we're going to town, which means there's the gas station, post office, general store down there, and three other houses. And I remember when her mom was they lived up in Potter County, a place called Oswego. And you had to go, if you really want to go to town, you went to Cowdersport. Some of you know those terms, but Oswego was this wide spot on a dirt road. And there was the proverbial gas station, general store, post office. Her mom was all excited when they finally got them to deliver the mail out of the house, because now there was two houses on her road. And so now they were going to deliver mail to there. And so I know it wasn't very big, but you know, it's important. It seems big to us. And so it was probably a pretty important place at the time. It was as advanced of a culture that they had at the time there in Ur. It was on a main merchant route. People came through. It wasn't the big town, but it was important. And by the way, we like to stay where we're comfortable, and we're comfortable with what we know. And we hate change. He had lived there, and Terah had lived, his father, and Nahor, his father, and all these, if you go back and talk about all these people, and they probably had always been there all this time. So the early Chaldees, who was near the civilization, it was near culture, number three, but also had a Sumerian cult. The Sumerian cult. It probably had its name, Ur, which signified, best we can tell, signifies fire. It was from the worship that was practiced there. They learned all, the learned people are almost unanimous in opinion that the ancient inhabitants of the region were worshipers of fire. And in that place, this sort of worship probably originated in honor of this element, the symbol of the supreme being. The whole country, or that particular city, was named Ur. Underneath that, Ur means flame. Means flame. The flame of Kesed, a relative of Abraham. These were the worshipers of fire. That's where he came from. That's where Terah, his father, was coming out of. So those who dwell in Ur were, in fact, it says in Daniel and Joshua, it talks about those who dwelled in Ur were either priests or astronomers or idolaters. And because they were much addicted to astronomy and probably to the judicial astrology, hence they were astrologers. In the process of time, they were called Chaldeans. It was just part of where they were. It was a heathen area. Let us see. Haran was about halfway to Canaan. You say you're halfway to Canaan from Ur. It says that, we read it there, it says that Terah took, he took Nahor, and he took Abram and his wife Sarai, and of course Haran's son Lot, his nephew, and they all went up to a place called Haran. Now that was about 800 to 900 miles up there. And then they went down into the city of into the land of Canaan. Now, they could have gone straight across. But the problem is, you went straight across, you went right across the Arabian Desert. You weren't going to make it. So they went up the trade routes along the water and went into Haran, and they stayed there. And finally, Dad died. Terah died. And once he died, then Abraham and Sarah went on down into the land of Canaan. So Haran to Canaan was about 450 miles. Ur to Haran was 800. So 800 miles, they stayed there for a while, then they came down. There's a lot of people, that was a long way away from home. And you know what? A lot of people, when they went to Haran, they stopped. I think Terah said, let's stop. Dad said, let's stop. And you know, a lot of times, people only follow the Lord halfway. I think that he was kind of hindered by Dad. He only went so far. He started his walk with God kind of slowly, if you will. Did I give you Joshua 24? Look what it says there. It says, and Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel, for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt, watch, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. What's the point? Abram grew up in the wrong mess. He grew up worshiping idols with his dad and his brothers. They grew up in the wrong thing. Now, I think that God, now they worshiped what they thought was God. There was the fire God, a supreme being. And, of course, a lot of times, you know, in some of these cultures, they thought the sun was God. But somehow, God came to Abraham and said, I want you to come out from among these people. Come out from amongst your kindred. So there was a command. God says, come. So we saw where he was. We saw the condition of Abraham. When God talked to him, he was not in any condition. God, listen, God doesn't save us because we're already perfect. God commends his love toward us, and while we're yet sinners, Christ dies for us. He came to Abraham while he was a sinner. And by the way, the Bible says, I didn't come because you were some great, wonderful people. You're a stiff-necked people. What was he doing? He's trying, and this, I don't want to be mean here, nor I'm not anti-Semitic. You ever hear about the stubbornness of the, you know, the German and the Irish and all this stuff? They always talk about the Irish drink too much and all this stuff. Well, the fact is, it says in the Bible that God used the Jews because it's almost like if he could save them, he can save anybody. If he can love them, he can love almost anybody. I'm not trying to be mean here, but that's kind of what he's saying. He says, you're a stiff-necked people. But the fact is, he's trying to show the world, I want you. You know, the world right now today says, what in the world's with the Jews? What's wrong? What in the world with the Israelites over there? Oh, my soul. They're crazy people. Why does God bless them? He shouldn't be blessing them. Huh? I've heard people, why? Listen, You ought to be a, why should you support Israel? You see all the things that they do? But see, God gave a covenant. You were here last week, we talked about it. And he went through and said, I'm going to go through the covenant, and I'm not going to make you go through there. Does that justify everything to do and give them right to do wrong? No. What's God showing us? His unconditional love for us. When he gives his word to you, he gave you his word. Not because we were perfect, but because he decided to love you with an everlasting love. He will take us unconditionally. You know the crazy thing is, we won't take him unconditionally. He all of a sudden, he doesn't own up to what we want him to do. He's not doing what we like. All of a sudden, well, I don't want him like that. I've had people say, well, that's what God's going to do. I'll be an atheist. Like you're hurting God. Like because you don't believe him, he no longer is what he is. Number two, we saw the condition of Abraham. What did you see? The command of God. The command of God. In chapter 12, verse number 1, the command of God. Now the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Jehovah, the self-existing one. Now the Lord had said, had said unto Abraham, and by the way, Abraham means high father. Interesting, his name was father, and he hadn't fathered any children. But God says, that's who you are. That's who you are. He said, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. That's what God said. He said, get out. Out of the country, away from your kindred, away from your father's house, to a place I'll show thee. Letter B, get thee out. That word there is the idea of walk and keep on walking. Leave. Walk abroad, to and fro, up and down. Get thee out. He says, out of thy country. There's a word that goes along with the country is the idea of living amongst in harmony of people of like disposition, like culture. So let us see the word is harmonizing with. He says, the parts where you are accustomed to harmonizing with. You are currently in tune with the world, and we want you to leave where you have become in tune with. Now, he's asking us to leave everything we understand. I'm going to give you a little illustration here, and I hope you understand it here. I felt called to be a pastor when I was a young teen. I remember going to my pastor at the time. It wasn't an independent Baptist church. It was a little dead, dried up, mainline denominational church. Every church is different, but that's what ours was like. I remember going to my pastor and saying, I'm thinking about going into the ministry. And he says, oh, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. But I knew the Lord had called me. I'll be honest with you. When I say that, I felt the desire, and I had a lot of people kind of discouraging me in that direction. I didn't know where to go to study, so my dad said, if you're going to go to college, just where are you going? It was a secular college. I got my music degree, and about after my second year of college, I was about to be a junior, I realized that I was going to be certified to sing. Now, how do you get a job with that? You know, what do you do? So I thought, well, I better get an education degree so at least I can get a job. I really felt like I wanted to be a music director at a church or something like that, but I felt like I ought to be able to get a job. So I did secondary education, and when I got out, I know I had two choices. There was an opportunity at the church where I ended up much later. There was a choice I could have taken that. Or had a choice, I had the gal, which has actually seemed easier, and usually is. The gal who had taught me music in school was going to retire. And she found out that I was getting out of college, and I was going to be a music teacher. And she says, I'm going to tell the music supervisor I want you to have my job. This was in the middle school. I forget now what her name was. Isn't that awful? Griswold? Yeah. No. Is that it? And we went to the same school. And so she says, I want you to have my job. I'm going to tell him, I want you to have my job. Now, of course, the job at the public school was going to pay me $12,500, which was a lot of money at the time. Well, not a lot of money. It really wasn't a lot of money then either. But it was a whole lot more because the Christian school was going to offer me $7,500. So I had a decision to make. I had to decide whether I was going to follow what the Lord had called me to do or go do my own thing. Well, I had some Christian people who tell me, well, you can't live on what the Christian school is going to pay you, so you got to take the other job. And I said, well, there's other people out here who are making a living. I mean, you got other people on staff. I mean, they're surviving. I mean, I don't need to get rich, but they're surviving. You can't live like that. Can't do that. Christians were telling me that. So I thought, well, they're more spiritual than I am. I don't know. In my heart, I knew what I was supposed to do, but I followed man, and I took the job at the public school. I was miserable for 6 years. 6 years, miserable. One of those things where you have to throw one leg out over the bed so the rest of you fall out so you get up because you just hate to even face the day. Now, the kids loved it. Everybody was happy at the school with what I was doing except me. One of the things I had to do was teach music in such a way that all the crazy and the wicked and no matter what it is, music out there in the world, I was supposed to hold up as great things. Honest to goodness. I came to a point where I realized I couldn't do, I could not please them and also please my Lord. So I had to make a choice. So I remember when I was trying to decide what I should do, and I remember going again to some Christians. And I said, you know what? I've been out of the will of God for 6 years. And they said, no, you haven't. I said, yeah, I have. Oh, no, you haven't. I said, I've been out of will for 6 years. I should have gone another direction than where I went. And everybody in the world, including my parents, everybody else just thought I was a crazy man. I was going to have to leave everything that I knew and that my family knew and whatever I grew up with knew. This is what you do. You'd follow right in the lines. This is a wonderful thing. And I'm going to go some crazy other direction, not even sure where it's going to lead me. But simply because I felt God had moved me to do that. And when I said I've been out of the will of God for 6 years, I said, oh, no, you haven't. Can't have been. God has blessed too many ways. Just because God feeds you, he sends the rain on the just and the unjust. Just because God loves you with an unconditional love does not mean you're in the will of God. And I tell you what, the day I turned in my resignation, it was almost like getting saved all over again. Well, I tell you what, the load lifted off of me. I felt great. And I remember and we didn't tell my mom and dad that I had resigned from my job because that's just, you're going to make it, wait, oh my. I just didn't tell them. But I remember that day we went over to visit my mom and dad that evening, after dinner. And I wasn't going to say a word to them. And we were just in there visiting. All of a sudden my mom says, what's up? I said, what do you mean, what's up? I lied through my teeth. What do you mean, what's up? Nothing's up. And she said, no, something's up. I said, this is what she said. I haven't heard you laugh like this in 6 years. That was exactly the number. Where did you get the number six? But that's how long I had been there. She says, I haven't heard you laugh like this in 6 years. Now, I came home and I told Janet, I said, we'll probably lose the car, might lose the house. I don't know what we're going to do. Maybe we could go to college. I don't know where I'm going, but I know where I'm not supposed to be. God came to Abraham and says, I want you to get out. I had preachers who tell me, well, God's not going to send you someplace else. He's not going to call you out of one place until he's going to send you someplace else. He's got some other door. He's not going to take you away. That's fine if you're already in the will of God. You don't have to wait to leave sin. My sin was I wasn't in the will of God and I knew it. You don't have to wait for that. You do that right away. In fact, I knew that I didn't know what to do, and I kept thinking something's going to happen. I'll be able to get out of this, and it'll be fine. Nothing changed until the day I decided I'm leaving. Then God opened the other door. I went and I told Dr. Smith, by that time I was teaching, I was a choir director, volunteer at the church. And I said, now, probably by fall I'm going to be going to Bible college or something, but you're going to need to find another choir director. And he said, you come in and see me on Monday morning. So I went and see him on Monday morning, so I'll tell you what I want you to do. He says, we're going to have a position to open up here to teach music this fall. Would you come back and teach music for us? Which was exactly the same fork in the road I had been 6 years before. When did he open the door? When I decided that I'm going to leave where I'm not supposed to be and go where I'm supposed to be. Now, don't just jump out of everything because you think you don't like it. That's a different story. Don't do that. But I knew with all my heart I was supposed to be in the ministry someplace. I just never bothered to do it. It's kind of like Abraham. God called him to go to Canaan, but Daddy took him to Haran. Well, that's far enough, right? It's almost there. It wasn't where he was supposed to be. So God gave a command. So letter B, he says, walk, get thee out. Letter C, out of the country, that which you feel in harmony with. Letter D, from thy kindred. It basically means to come apart from your nativity. Number one, apart from the native country where you were begotten, away from your lineage, what you were born to be. God calls us out from what we're comfortable with. This is way too many people. So this is where we started. This is where my folks have been, where their folks have been. This is just the way we're going to be. But we're living in the mess of the world and the wrong culture and the wrong religion and all the mess. And we're saying, yeah, but that we're comfortable there. He says, get out. But you want me to leave, Mom and Dad? You want me to leave this? You want me to leave this? You want to leave that? If that's what it takes to follow God, then that's what we need to do. Letter E, he says, from thy father's house. Away from where your father's people have been accumulating. They've been here all these times. And building a house, in quotes there. A house. Leave what you can see and have. And he wants to leave everything you see and have when all that you've known and what you feel comfortable with and seem to harmonize well with and go to a place. I'll show you when you get there. That's what he calls us to do. Most times when we have to step out on faith, he's asking us to leave what we already feel comfortable with, where we feel safe. And he's asking us to step out someplace where we don't know what's coming. We saw the condition of Abraham, the command of God. Now watch this, number three, the capacity of God. He's a promise. He says, I want you to come out, get thee out of the country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land I will show thee. But look at verse 2. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That's the Lord's promise, to bless those that bless Abraham, to curse those that curse Abraham. He said, I want you to come out from there, and I will take care of you. Now, if God is the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, and the Lord Jehovah, the creator of the universe, the self-existing one, if he really is who he says he is, if he really is that what nature says he is, the heavens declare his glory, then why would we be scared not to step out on faith and follow him? Sometimes we're scared. Sometimes we just don't want to leave what we're comfortable with. But God can do it. He says, that's a promise. That's his promise. Doesn't change. In fact, I don't know, we don't need to do a whole lot to expound on it. It's his promise. Now, wait a minute. If he's going to make him a great nation, he's going to have to keep him alive. Now, we're going to see his first failure, Lord willing, next week. He goes down to Egypt, and he says, Sarah, you're a pretty good-looking gal. I'm afraid that that Pharaoh down there, he might just knock me off to get you if he finds out you're my wife. Tell him you're my sister. Which was sort of kind of true. That's kind of weird, too, but it was sort of kind of true. Because I'm afraid he'll kill me. Wait a minute. Did he hear the promise that God gave him? Says, I'm going to make you a great nation. How could he make him a great nation if he's dead? Doesn't have any kids yet. Right? We need to take God's word at it. If he says he's going to make a great nation, then he's going to make me a great nation. Then that's what I need to do. I need to step out. He can do it because that's his capacity. Number four, I want you to see a commitment of faith in God. Now I'm going to go back and start reading verse number one so you get the impact of number four. 12:1. Now the Lord has said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed. Okay. You see how profound that is? God said, go. And Abraham said, oh. Now, I'm not saying there weren't some struggles down in his heart. I'm not saying that everything was easy. But the fact is, in fact, probably it wasn't easy. In fact, that's what we've been talking about. You got to leave mom and dad. He didn't leave mom. He didn't leave dad. Dad went with him. See? We went to Haran. Well, wait a minute. Dad was the one that brought him up in the wrong religion, if you will. Dad was the one that was leading him down with the rest of the Sumerians. By the way, it's not Sumerians from Samaria. That's a whole different thing in the New Testament. This is Sumerian. S-U-M-E-R. Okay, just so you know. But he said, leave him. He didn't. You know, my dad was kind of that way. Well, we'll help you. You don't go so far. I remember... You know how dads are. When I went down and told him that y'all had voted me in to be the pastor of this church, I went to see him. He was all upset and so forth. You know what the first thing he said? Now, some of you know who I'm talking about. I've talked about Norris Belcher down here at Church of the Open Door. At that time, the church was running 1,800 to 2,000 people. And you know how dads are. He says, well, maybe Dr. Belcher won't be there so long, you can take his church. I remember looking like, I thought, no, Dad, that's not going to happen. You know what he was saying? Stick around. Stick around. Follow God, just don't follow so far. You know what I'm saying? But within a few minutes, and he had watched how God had provided for us in college and so forth, and he had seen things, he finds that, you know what? You're right. I don't know. I don't understand it. They can't. You tell me they can't pay you. Go ahead. And you know what he said? He went out to the lady and the secretary and says, get some comps on his house and get it on the market. Find us some listings in Dover and get this boy a house. Now that was a God thing. You know what he said? Dad doesn't do this. The Lord has spoke to his heart. Cut ties and go. You don't know the step that was in my father's life to say that. Cut the ties and go. So Abraham departed. That's a commitment. Look at verse 4. Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. When he got out, they had already gone up that second part there, and then daddy died, and then he left. He was 75 years old. And Abraham took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. So they headed out to Canaan, and sure enough, that's where they went. And Abraham passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and a Canaanite was there, in the land. You catch this? God says, leave everything you have and follow me. He says, well. And dad says, well, I'll tell you what, let's just go up here. And you're supposed to, but that just kind of hangs. So they go up to Haran. It wasn't what it's supposed to do, and Terah died. And Abraham says, you need to get down to Canaan. God said to Abraham, you need to get down to Canaan. So he gets him to Canaan. And when he gets to Canaan, this land he's supposed to be, it's already occupied. No vacancy over the door. You know what I'm saying? Someone else already lives there. The Canaanites are there. What do you mean this is my land? We don't own this land. The Canaanites live in this land. It's going to be yours. You see what I'm saying? We make a decision to follow God, and we go out there, and all of a sudden God looks like he's... Wait a minute. It's almost as if God didn't have all of his ducks in a row. He says, no, I've got... I know all the ducks, and they're all lined up. And we're going to pop them off here in no time at the shooting gallery. And we're going to be just fine. Trust me. Trust me. Now watch me. Number one. The big one, number four, commitment of faith in God. Underneath that, letter A, and then you got number one, exercise of obedience to the command of God. When he made a commitment, what he did, he exercised obedience to the command of God. God said, come out from among them, from your people, from your country, from your kindred, from the whole mass. Come out. And Abraham departed. He obeyed. That was faith. He exercised, number two, of faith in the promise of God. Did he understand all that God was going to do? No. Did he understand all the ramifications? No. But he said, I'm going to trust God because God said so. And so God said, leave, and so he departed. That's faith. It doesn't have to be great faith. We learned on Wednesday night, it can be the faith of a grain of mustard seed. It's not for us to have faith in our faith. It's for us to have faith in the faithfulness of God's word. And when God says do it, we do it. He says depart, so you depart. I don't know where we're going. I don't know what we're going to get when we get there. But he said go, so here we go. I remember coming up here. I never pastored a church before. I've been assistant pastor. I've done all kinds of things. I worked with the teens, worked with the young couples, worked with the senior adults some, and I've done all kinds of things, but I've never been the pastor. The buck never stopped at my desk before. And you've heard me tell the story. I came up the first Monday after we had been up here, and I started going out visiting folks, and I was chased off the yard by dogs. I had people look at me like I had three heads. It was the worst day I've ever had in my life in the ministry. And I went home, and I literally think I had a panic attack. Never had one since. And I thought, well, I'm just tired. It was a big day on Sunday. We had a big day. We were there late at night because everybody was doing a big send-off. And I was the conquering hero that they were saying farewell to down there. And I came up here, and people looked like me. I went down here to the Rossville. There was a little restaurant in there, and I went and had lunch. And I said, hi, I'm Pastor Walsh. I'm the new pastor up here at the church. I mean, her face said, whoop-de-doo. So you're one of those, huh? It was awful. And I came home, and I thought, well, I'll just need to rest. And the more I drove home, we lived an hour away, the more I drove, the worse it got. And I walked in, and Janet was making dinner. Kids there, because they're all fine. We're getting ready to pack up the house and move to a town we haven't lived in before. And they're just all fine and dandy. And I'm going, oh, my soul. There's not enough people in there to pay our bills. How are we going to live? And I went upstairs and thought, well, I'll just rest. So I laid down in the bed. And the more I laid down there, I could feel my heart. And it was, you know, does it? You ever lay in bed, you can feel your heartbeat, you know? You can kind of go out of our bedroom. I could shout down over the handrail there to... the kitchen. I said, Janet, come on up here. And she came up and got in the door here. And I said, I made a mistake. He said, what do you mean you made a mistake? She said, what do you mean you made a mistake? I said, I made a mistake. What do you mean you made a mistake? I said, I don't think I should have taken this job. I don't think I can do it. She said, oh, come on. I said, I don't think I can do this. I think I just got myself out here where I shouldn't have been. And I'm
said, what do you think we're going to do? I said, I don't know. I think I can call Dr. Belcher. He hasn't gotten the new music director yet. I just left last night. I'm serious. And she says, Sterl. By the way, she's the only one calling me Sterl. But anyway, she said, Sterl. He said, you asked God to let you walk on water, and now you're looking at the waves. And that was the absolute truth. Without a doubt in my mind, I knew God had called me up here. And so I departed. But I got out there, and I said, this doesn't look good. And she says, hold on a second. Basically, she's saying, God didn't change his plan. Don't doubt in the dark what God has revealed in the light. Just keep moving. I have never doubted another time since then. That was the truth. That's the honest, goodness truth. A lot of folks have said, who've seen me preach, oh, my soul, what time it is. So he departed. He obeyed. That's faith. Let me give you letter B. Maybe I shouldn't. No, I shouldn't. I shouldn't. There's way too much good stuff here. We need to do this. We had a lot of tedious stuff at the beginning because I wanted you to see where Abraham's coming from. Listen. I did the same thing as Abraham. God said go to Canaan, but he goes with Daddy to Haran. I said, well, I'll follow you, but I'll only follow you so far. But then I had to go back. There was a day when I said, all right, we're leaving. The reason I didn't go to college to be a pastor until I was 30 years old, one of the main reasons was, one is, first of all, I didn't think God could use me. But if God's called it, he already knows my stupidity. I learned that after I got up here. God knows I'm stupid. And he knew that when he called me. God used the foolish things to confound the wise, so I figured I was a pretty good candidate. He gets most of the glory. But I didn't go, one, because I didn't know whether God could use me. I doubted that. But again, see, it's not who I am. It's who God is. Two, I didn't want to give up Carroll County, Maryland. I didn't want to leave the kindred and the country of my birth. I grew up there. My dad grew up there. His dad grew up there. His dad grew up there. That's just on the Walsh side. You get to the Wilhelms and the Kemps and all the Germans that came in there, we're way back, way back. You don't leave the area to go out and do something crazy like follow God. God gives you a call. Don't doubt his call. There's nothing wrong with confirming it. You know, you have a dream because you ate too much pizza at night and out, and you wake up the next morning and you're going to leave your home and do everything. No, wait. You know, make sure it's confirmed. Read the Word of God. But don't doubt what God can do. Because God can do some great and mighty things. We got to stop. Father, again, we thank you for these people. These dear folks are so faithful and forgiving. And Lord, I thank you for your Word. And we study these things here. You know, Lord, I just thank you. You show men like Abraham, warts and all. Allows us to see how really, truly mighty and gracious you are. We realize how short we come of the glory of God. Lord, help us to rise up in faith. We got folks in here who are struggling with doing what you've called them to do. Maybe it's simply just to obey some things you've called them to do, to stop doing some things they've been doing, or go do some things they weren't doing, or to leave some message that they've been in, or whatever. I don't know what it might be, but Lord, may your Word become clear and understood. And may we rise up in arms of faith and take those steps. Not great faith, but alive faith in a great God. Thank you for what you're doing.
Heads are bowed and their eyes are closed. The stands are her feet. Piano organ's going to play.